Welcome to Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
When you want your local footy fixed, you only come to one place, and that is Beyond the Boundary.
Jack Beardsall's listening.
He is. Correct me.
The award-winning Beyond the Boundary.
Yes. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well. How'd you enjoy your weekend?
Full. Yes, full. It's been nice not to talk to you for a couple of days, can I say?
Yes. No, good. Good. Well, the games were good. Everybody dissed us for going there.
Tallara and North Shore.
Well, even Grovedale and West, they wondered why we were going there. And so, in the words of somebody else, stick it.
Yes, stick it right up.
Stick it right up.
I think I might have actually said that on air, and somebody did say, thanks for the little teddy. I got a couple of teddy references on the weekend.
It was a big weekend for that, wasn't it?
I got Siren in as well.
Did you?
On Sunday.
Siren.
It was a real Teddy Whitneyism on K-Rock.
No, it was good. A good weekend.
How are you?
I'm good.
What are you bringing to the table? What have you got for us?
What am I bringing to the table? You know, the one question I forgot to ask Michelle Gertz, Her Royal Highness, on Sunday was about interleague football, because the Hampton and Ballarat leagues are playing shortly.
Yeah, under-23.
Yes, and I wonder whether that's something that may be paraded out for AFL Barwon in the Ballerine and the GFNL.
Well, the issue is that...
No issues.
Well, next year we go to 11 teams in the Ballerine.
Do we?
Yes. And that means the set buys, I suspect, of mid-May and July school holidays...
No longer exist.
...will probably not exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
So that would
They're going to have 11 teams or 12 teams in the Ballerine.
Next year?
Yeah.
11 at the moment. Well, 11 if you're talking about North Shore.
I don't know.
Gee, hasn't Marion Spotter's interview...
Has it garnered a little bit of interest?
It's probably been one of our more listened to after the fact interviews that we've done.
I'm sure it was. That's good.
That's good. It's roused a few people.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what we're here for. Anything else on your agenda?
No, not much. You've got the list.
I am very much pushing for, and people will diss me for this, but I'm happy. But do you know what? Sometimes you've got to have an opinion.
Of course.
I think it's time to scrap under-18 grand finals on the senior grand final days.
Well, we spoke about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
The other day.
But I'm actually adamant. We have under-14 grand final day.
Yep.
Under-16 grand final day. Mm-hmm. And under-18 grand final day.
3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Nice. Yep. Don't mind it.
And then if we are looking at trying to save costs for...
Yeah, absolutely.
...playing at GMHBA Stadium, we'll leave bang, there's 2.5 hours gone.
Until Sunday, I didn't think we were playing at GMHBA, to be honest with you. Like, the sentiment that I'd heard was that it was going to be too expensive, it couldn't be worked out, and we were going to play somewhere else. But on Sunday, it sort of reinvigorated my thinking on that. But I like the idea of just having the reserves and the seniors.
What about Scotty Meddings, though, then putting on the table, we'll go to council.
He didn't muck around, did he?
No. We'll sign a contract now to host every final here for the next 3 years so we can get the funding going to get the next stage done at West.
Yeah.
There was plenty to unpack.
There was. It was a big weekend, actually.
So there's been a lot listened to over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that idea of the grand finals.
Well, and the other thing is, too, the GDFNL don't have to be there at stupid o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, you can roll in at 9 to bounce your reserves at 11:30. And do you know what you can also do? You can start earlier.
No, also, you can revitalise the grand final breakfast.
Yep.
They used to have one of those.
Yep.
Everybody could have one of those.
Over at Buckley's. What was Grubby's great phrase? Jim Beam on your cornflakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking about Richard Cations.
Yes.
Grubby's been unwell.
Has he really?
Yeah, I know he's a listener to the podcast, but the GDFNL's number one expert.
Without doubt. Yeah.
I can honestly tell you.
Yes.
He's the GDFNL's number one expert.
Yes, he is. Because he's the only one. Oh, that's not good.
No.
He was okay a few weeks ago when we saw him.
Yeah, no.
He's gone downhill. That's
bit
no
of,
good.
Bit of the old P pneumonia.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. Why did they put a P? Why didn't they just go with the...
Yeah,
pneumonia.
Does he... Is he still... he'll still be...
I'm not sure.
Oh,
I don't know.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
Oh, that's no good.
Bit of news through the week.
Yes, please.
Ben Crombie's had surgery on his ankle.
Has he really?
4 to 8.
Ooh. Stretching the friendship for finals.
Hoping for 4.
Oh, they better make the granny.
Ned Alsbrook has a new deal.
Yes, I saw that. Good on you, Ned.
He will weigh up at the end of the year whether he plays on. He goes, if he thinks he's still of value, in a defensive role, but he will weigh that up at the end of the year.
That's good for them.
Lachie Dalgleish has hurt a hamstring at Drysdale. That hurts.
Oh, it's not good.
Because he's a very good player.
Absolutely.
Bo Collins has a broken hand at Inverlee.
Really?
And Guy O'Keefe's got a little calf injury, but not as serious as first thought.
Can I just say, I'm not too sure you have a little calf injury.
Especially when you're 35.
I think you get a calf injury.
You brought to the table on Saturday that Archie Lazaro is no longer at Newtown and Chilwell.
He is not.
Where's he gone?
He's at Old Geelong. Played on Saturday as well.
That all went very quiet.
Went very quiet, didn't it? Yes. I think he played a couple of games in the twos at Newtown and then may have had a discussion with Port Melbourne. And I think the coach of Old Geelong's been sniffing around for quite a while.
Nick Dixon.
Nick Dixon.
So that's interesting because, of course, Brendan McCartney coaches Port Melbourne.
Yes.
Steve Johnson at Newtown and Chilwell.
Yes.
Macca and Jono know each other very well.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think it was taken out of Jono's hands, so I think it was just, yes, Archie. He's been thinking about while for a while, especially trying to play with Charlie. He trained at North Melbourne as well, so in a pre-season for the VFL and things like that. So, yes,
let's see how that goes. Damien McMahon, I believe, is back from his little jaunt to the WTC final at Lords.
Oh, that's nice of him.
What about England chasing down 370 on the last day?
Yeah, well, Ben Ducker can play.
149.
He can bat okay.
I did find myself sucked into the first session.
Didn't you really?
Yeah. There is something comforting about the cricket from England in the middle of winter.
There's something comforting about India being beaten.
Yeah.
I like it.
True. They don't seem to have the same aura. Boomer is a wonderful bowler.
Is he? Did I read somewhere that he's being rested for the second test?
What?
Yes, that's what I heard.
The Aussies start tonight in the Caribbean.
Yes, midnight in Barbados.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Another late night. Early morning.
Well, early morning. Although,
what will it be on? Some sort of streaming service that we can't get?
I believe ESPN have got it.
Oh, right.
So it'll be on KO.
Oh, nice.
My understanding is the third test is a day-night test.
Oh my
so we
God.
Wake up to it.
Like the World Cup a few years ago when it ended in darkness and didn't have any lights on. Really? So we wake up to
just
it?
Just to make you feel old, a few years ago, it was 18 years ago. It was 2007.
Okay.
So and then there's some T20s, which actually are like, I won't be coming to work. I'll be at home watching.
Oh, Rach, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Have you heard that? He's not coming to work. He's watching the cricket.
And then they come home to play a top end series.
Do they?
Yep.
Because Australia A is going up there too, to the top end.
Is it with... O'Peake?
O'Peake has been selected.
Right, a little bit more news.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Anderson, the Chook.
Is he back?
If he gets through training this week...
He's playing.
He'll play.
In the ones.
In the ones.
Oh, there you go.
First
that's
game
good.
Since round 4 last year.
Oh, that's
but
good.
On the flip side, Luke Marnie is confirmed as an ACL.
No, no.
There might not be much that's footy left good. In Luke Marnie. Mm. Kane Marsh is no longer part of the Southbound coaching staff.
No, he is not.
But Wayne Amos is back.
Really?
Yes.
Back from a little hiatus.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
A long-term servant of the club.
Yes, so he's come back
right.
And filled the role that Kane Marsh is no longer in. Big game, Crow and Geelong West. That's the Shaka Project game.
I saw that, yes.
How good are the jumpers?
Yes, they're great, aren't they? I saw the
Crow
one.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, I agree.
Raising mental health awareness.
That's great.
And I believe there's a little competition that All-in-One Services, who sponsor Corio, are running where you can win one of the Corio jumpers. So jump on Facebook, type in All-in-One Services.
That's good.
Serious matters.
Mm-hmm.
Torquay have a meeting on July 22 to discuss promotion relegation.
Right.
Their steering committee will meet with their football and netball sections, and they will thrash it out there to see whether they want to come up.
Right.
If the opportunity presents. Right now, they are second in the club championship behind Geelong Amateur. Ammos have got a committee meeting coming up where it will be discussed as well.
But have you spoken to Faz?
I have.
Oh, good on you. Yeah. You found Faz. Well done. What happens then if Geelong Amateur say no and they finish on top of the club championship?
Yep.
It goes
to Torquay.
It goes to Torquay?
Yep.
Okay.
Torquay get offered.
Right.
And if they say yes,
yeah, right.
Guess what?
They go up.
North Shore are coming down.
Right.
Despite... I believe the president of North Shore saying that promotion relegation wasn't happening this year. Unless I missed the memo.
Oh, well, I think...
I did challenge Marion at all.
It's a two-year cycle and this is the end of the 2 years.
Yeah.
It started last year, didn't it? So, yeah.
Match review panel is in. So, Sam Purdy went out of the contest early on Saturday for Lara, one of their co-captains. That was found to be nothing untoward.
No.
And I even spoken to Lara and they said, look, it was an accident.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron Stone, though, has been done for rough conduct on Grady Clifford.
Oh, yeah, well, he came off, didn't he? Yeah, he didn't go back on either.
So that means both the two co-captains are not available for Lara. Oh. Their vice-captain is Ryan Bell. He's also in the concussion protocol.
Oh, no.
So that
who are they playing this week?
South Bowen. Ooh. Darby Henderson, I believe, is going to captain them this week.
Okay.
So he's probably the next option. Geordie Harrison from Anglesey. If it wasn't a bad enough day losing to Ocean Grove on Saturday, Geordie Harrison's got a week for an incident with Reece Devlin. So he'll miss against Drysdale this week. Couple of female sport-related things. The Female Festival of Sport, Brekkie, is at Geelong West Town Hall.
It is.
$50 a head. Jazz Shelley, WNBL Geelong United star, is among the guest speakers. Megan Mifsud, who's a legend at Torquay, might be able to take us. I wonder if she did the deal to get Maddie Brown.
3 years.
Coaching the Tigers. From now, too, I believe.
Oh, straight away.
Yeah, I think Sonia Harris has hit the road, I think, going around Australia.
Okay. Straight in, bang.
Bang.
Well, she has been consulting.
Yes.
Yes. Do you like that? Consulting.
And I believe Taylor Hassett, Geelong VFLW coach.
Yeah.
Good timing there because they've just come off their first win.
Yes. Nice. Well, that's be something for her to talk about.
So, and Geelong West Town Hall is a good little venue.
A good little venue. It's nice. Yes.
So jump on the AFL Barn website to find out more. Now, we've lauded Josh Finch for a very long time.
We have.
But it's time to laud the better member of the marriage.
Really?
Emma Finch will play her 350th. This week.
Will she really?
Yeah.
Much
in the senior netball section.
Really? That's great.
At Motta. Now, I've been dealing with some people at Motta. Now, normally we don't touch on...
Are those two just like high achieving or what? Josh and Emma. Gee whiz.
So, what, 680 odd games between them. So, they'll actually end up... I think you'll end up... Because Josh broke the record at 330, so he must be about 335 now.
Mm.
So they will play at the end of the year a combined 700 games.
Gee whiz, that's a great effort. That is a great effort.
That is unbelievable. Mm. Just some of the notes I've received here about Emma Ovens as she was.
Mm-hmm.
So started playing senior netball with Motta in 2003. I won't say what age group she was. part of the 2011 A-grade premiership team, coached the D-grade premiership team to a flag in 2012, won both the league and club best and fairest in 2017. That was B-grade.
Yeah.
It was quite bizarre interviewing Emma Finch after having years of interviewing Josh Finch on Ash Medal Night.
Yeah.
Life member of the club, coach, team manager, mentor, Auskick and NetSec Go coordinator, sponsorship coordinator, social committee member, sponsor committee member, and the heart and soul of our great country club. And no one has more passion for the MFNC than Emma Finch.
Do they live at Moriac? They'd have to.
No, they're not.
I mean around the corner from the club because they're there that often.
They're not far from the club.
Jeez, I tell you what, that's a fair effort.
So yeah, there's a bit of news. Nothing else across your desk?
No, not at this stage. Well, did we get any feedback from the past Players' Day on Sunday at Saturday at Ocean Grove? Have we? Is there any remnants of anything? We had some discussions with anybody?
Probably,
aka the South Bowen coach.
Probably nothing.
Is he breathing?
Probably nothing that can go on the record. But he is he's with us.
He's breathing. Oh, that's a good start.
So,
nice.
Big show coming up. Sam Scott, old box, is going to join us a bit later.
Might have kicked a couple of goals again. He's loving it.
I think the oldest man playing regular senior footy in Geelong. Not Sam Scott.
I was going to say.
Justin Carey.
Oh, he would be, yes.
But after this, a man who's looking to do something that has been done before in the Ballerine, and that is be a local grand final umpire, but also play in a local football premiership, but not... Going from playing to umpiring to playing to umpiring, going the other way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Harry Gare on the other side of this.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, it's one of the more unique stories in local footy. We like the fun stories or the quirky. And the quirky one is that this bloke's playing some really good footy. But you know what? He's actually a pretty good umpire as well. So good enough that he actually controlled the 2022 GFNL decider between Leopold and St Mary's. But right now he's chasing his own personal success or team success with the Cooters, and that is Harry Gare. He's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. How are you, H?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me, gents, this afternoon.
No, appreciate it. Talk to us about how you're finding it. You know, you've been back playing footy for 2 or 3 years now, but you had that year in 2022 where you were probably the standout whistleblower in Geelong.
Yeah, so a bit of a transition, obviously, from umpiring footy to playing footy, but suppose just all round, I've always enjoyed my footy all round. So did a couple of years umpiring down there, but I think, yeah, I just miss the enjoyment, especially around the Cooters. Like, such a good club, I just couldn't wait to get back. So I had to make the transition back to playing.
Yep. So your home club, Queenscliff, how did you get into umpiring?
Pretty early days, like younger days, probably 15 or 16, just like a bit of a part-time job, I suppose. And as I said, I've always enjoyed my footy, so it was a pretty easy kind of gig to get a hold of. I love being amongst it too, like especially the junior days, like being in a big GFL footy game, BFL footy game. So yeah, just kind of jumped on the umpiring transfer. I'll do that while I play.
And literally one of K-Rock's own. Because he won the Umpire of the Year in 2022, the K-Rock Umpire of the Year. So you're one of us.
Yeah, well, exactly. Looking back, I did look back at that and I thought you must have had a hand in that thingy,
Is it true that you've gone back to football full-time because you couldn't get a game because Chasto was just continuing the umpire?
Yeah, Chasto, Steve Gunnar, as well. So, you know, they gave me the door, I think, after a couple of years.
What's the banter like with the umpires? Like, or is there some new umpires have come into the region and they, you know, you go, mate, I wouldn't have made that decision. They don't know who you are.
We always get some familiar faces down at Queenscliff. I tell the boys, some of the umpires will tell the boys just to ease up a bit, but if it's Steve Ganaccio or Errol Burns, I tell them just to go their hardest, really.
I love it. That's great.
Is there any chance...
Errol Burns, one of your favourites, isn't he, King?
Oh. Yeah, he loves Errol. He loves him. Kirsch loves him even more, but the King, he loves him.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't, Harry. Don't take this places where we don't need to go. Now, talk to us about your footy and, I suppose, getting back into it after a year off. And it's early in your senior career, but, you know, you're playing under Heath Jamieson, I suspect. You're learning quite a bit under such a legend of coaching.
Oh yeah, Jambo's, I mean, yeah, his resume kind of speaks for itself, really, what he's been able to do, obviously, at Joey's up in the Vassar. Like, it's been unreal coming back to him. Like, pretty easy walking into senior footy when you've got a bloke like that at the helm, I suppose. So just kind of learned as much as I can from him and a few of the other senior blokes who have been around the club for a while. So yeah, pretty easy.
It's taken some time with him in terms of his coaching, the way he coaches with you guys. It doesn't seem like you've got that many newer players in the team, so it's just been basically you guys taking on what he's been teaching and coaching you, and you've all taken it on board. And I think the results speak for themselves this year, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think he'll actually hate me saying this, Jamo, because he hates using that. This is a bit of an excuse, but it is a real kind of younger group, and that's why it's probably taken a couple of years. But I think, yeah, like lots of it, like 90% of the group has probably played junior footy at Queenscliff at some point. So I think it's just, a lot of it is just belief among the younger boys that when we play our best footy in that under Jamo, that, yeah, we can really get it done and kind of contend with some of the top teams, and it's really promising that it's finally starting to come together this year, I suppose.
Just back to your umpiring, Harry, you were 20, I think, when you controlled the GFL Grand Final in 2022, and that tells us that you know what you're doing, obviously, but probably on a pathway too. Was there any interest in going higher with your umpiring, i.e., you know, NAB League and or Talent League and, or, you know, VFL or anything like that?
Nah, definitely. I think, yeah, it's pretty good, the Geelong system. They do have that kind of pathway set out for you. If you are enjoying your umpiring, you are doing all right. So, yeah, like it was mentioned, it was definitely considered, like, pretty seriously in my year where I decided to go back. But and don't get me wrong, I did love my umpiring that, and I could see a bit of a future there. But it just came down to the enjoyment factor for me. Like, that's what it came down to. I just enjoyed playing my footy so much more. So it was a pretty easy decision in the end that I go back to playing.
And what was it like controlling I suppose being told that you're going to do the biggest game in the region in 22 and then actually controlling it?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Like, you love being amongst, obviously, like, high-standard footy like that, and the biggest game of the year too. Like, it's unreal, like, getting to control that. And that's what I enjoyed, like, getting big games like that, just being amongst it with some of the best footballers, in the local region.
I don't have a memory like Kingy, so remind me who you umpired with on that day.
I think it was Big Bird, Chris Jones, I believe, and it might have been, I can't remember the other one, it might have been Brownie, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Dr. Brown, maybe, yep. I think, from memory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, good panel, two boys, so...
What happened at Drysdale on Saturday? You guys can't seem to win the hand-up cup.
Oh, no, it's been... They mentioned that when they were handing the cup out after. Yeah, it's been a while, but we just, couldn't get it done at Drysdale, but they're just, we struggled to win at Drysdale at all, let alone, the hand-up cup, but, no good, unfortunately.
Unless you completely mess it up, you're going to play finals. I know nothing's a given and there's still seven rounds of footy to play, but you put yourself in a really good position. Do you reckon you're ahead of where you thought you'd be in your progress as a club, or is this, do you reckon this was the year that you were ready to pounce under Jammo?
Oh, I mean, you can look at it either way. Like, at the start of the year, like, we were pretty clear in the kind of game plan we wanted, like our high-pressure kind of footy. And, we kind of started the year, we kind of did think anything was possible. Like, if we play our best footy, we knew we'd be thereabouts. But I suppose personally, it was a little bit of a surprise. Like, I knew that obviously we'd be improving on last year, the year before, but to come up this high and kind of knock off a few of the top teams and be playing the good footy we are. Like, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little bit of a surprise. But, in saying that, I know what we're capable of, and, it's a good young group, so hopefully we can continue with this form.
You probably, until last week, might have penciled in Ocean Grove as a win, but now they've beaten Anglesey, you've got to be a bit careful on the weekend.
Nah, you do. And I think that's something that our group really comes to terms with a bit, that, like, there's no easy games in our league, especially, and just because we've strung a few together, like, you can't be too careful. I mean, knocking off Anglesey, we've only had a handful of losses this year. So, we're definitely not going to take Saturday lightly against Ocean Grove,
Now, of course, I touched on the fact that you're looking to do the reverse, umpire a grand final and then play in a premiership. Simon Nealis was the man who actually did that, umpired a grand, I believe, umpired, don't know whether it was a GFL, but I know he umpired a local grand final, won an Ash medal.
Yep.
And played in the flag with Drysdale in 2009. Now, the question is, H, do you reckon you might draw some votes from your old mates this year?
Oh, I think it actually goes in the reverse, to be honest, speaking to a few of them in the past. Like, when I have one or two good games here and there, I flick them a message after the game, how do you think I went? And it sounds like it's been in reverse. They don't want to, when the votes are read out, I don't think they want to be too suspect. So I think I never really have a good game in the eyes of any of the boys down at umpiring. So.
You'll be hoping you don't get nachos on the way home, because you've just whacked him a couple of times on the podcast. He's not going to give you any votes on the way home either.
We won't listen to this, but, he won't give me any votes anyway. He's a hard man to please.
Now, H, talk to us. Will you go back to umpiring once your playing days are done?
Oh, I think definitely. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough. As I said to you, really enjoyable being amongst it with some good local talent in the region. That, but I think definitely down the track, definitely get back into umpiring just to be amongst footy really in general. Yeah.
Right. Do you listen to the podcast, H?
Nah, I don't. But I'll start listening to it a bit now.
Yeah, good answer.
So he's in the new. He's also joined the club, of been on it more times than he's listened to it.
Yep. Right. Yep,
welcome to the club.
Right.
It's a big club. It's a big club. We do a little player profile where we just some rapid fire questions at you, and you just got to, first thing that comes into your mind, you got to say.
Go for it.
All right. Full name.
Harry Ty Gower.
What was the middle? Ty.
A bit of Irish, apparently, according to the folks.
Yes, nice. Date of birth?
12th of August, 2002.
Oh, God, getting younger.
Hang on. 12th of August, 2002. He's a month older than my oldest daughter.
22.
That's great. That's good. Yeah. Where were you born, Harry?
Up in Melbourne. Oh. Couldn't tell you where.
All right. Melbourne boy. Occupation?
Assistant property valuer. So I'm still studying just last year at uni, so just part-time doing that.
Nice. Car, you're driving?
Yep, I am. Subaru.
Well, I don't mind the Subaru. A little Forester or something
like that. There's a few Subarus going around in the football community.
Yes. Yeah, they run well, the Subarus. They're good.
Nice. Favourite food?
Chicken palmy.
Favourite drink?
Oh, probably just a good Pepsi Max.
Everybody says Pepsi Max, don't they?
Boring.
It's Pepsi. Well, it's always Pepsi. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Favorite singer or band?
The Jungle Giants.
Who?
Nah. No idea.
Never heard of them.
Local Australian band. Come on.
Jeez, Harry. You're going left of centre there.
I'm going to Spotify.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
Look, Jungle Giants.
Righto. Favorite movie?
The Fugitive.
Oh, yes. That's gold, Harry. Good cool. work. Well done.
Favourite TV show?
Oh, have to be The In-Betweeners.
Oh, yes. That's a good... Yeah, that's good.
Favourite actor or actress?
Jennifer Aniston, I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah, nice one. I like that. That's good.
Friends era? Or have you gone back and revisited Friends as a young fella?
Yeah, I have a little bit. That's a good laugh.
Do yourself a favour. Watch We Are the Millers. It's a movie.
Oh, no, I watched that recently.
It's good.
Yeah, is that where they're the fake family?
Fake family and the drugs. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis in that as well?
Yeah.
Before he became Ted Lasso.
Hilarious.
Very good.
A little son LeBron. That's the classic.
Oh, yes, it is too.
Very good. Biggest footy thrill?
Has to be Brizzy Lions winning the grand final last year. I'm a mad Team Brizzy man, so definitely a highlight.
Harry's gone down a step in our imagination, but that's okay.
What about estimation?
Yeah, that too. I'm trying to find the Jungle Giants. Can you leave me alone?
Biggest footy disappointment?
The year before, losing to the Pies at the G.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
I was thinking more individual, but yeah, if you want to go,
he's a Lions supporter. I like it.
And if there was three people in history you could invite to dinner, who would they be?
John O'Brien.
Oh.
Dave Warren, probably, and maybe Carl Barron, just to give the boys a laugh.
Lighten the mood.
That is gold. Carl Barron is a legend.
That's as good a trifecta as I've heard.
Yeah, no, I like
John
that.
O'Brien, Shane Warne, and Carl Barron.
I like that.
Harry?
That's the Jungle Giants.
Yeah, that's them. No, good.
Oh, that's probably gym music tomorrow morning on Spotify. The Jungle Giants.
There you go, Jungle Giants. I'll be into those. There you go.
Harry, really appreciate you joining us. It's a great story, back playing footy, but one day hopefully back in the umpiring ranks as well, but a bit of water to go under the bridge and a bit to achieve in that regard as well. Good to talk and appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No, thanks for having me, gents. Take it easy on me when I'm back in the green, King.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, it's not too often you find a bloke playing regular senior footy with a four in front of his age, but when you're a bit of a fitness freak, well, it means you can do it into your 40s. And this bloke, well, he actually ticked over the milestone earlier this year. He's been good enough to join us from the Geelong West Giants, but he's got an extension on his house for all the jumpers he's worn over his career, and he won't mind me saying that. Justin Carey, a very good afternoon. Welcome to Beyond the Boundary.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Why are you still playing at age 40?
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Nah, I'm not too sure. I've just got a good bunch of lads down at West there, and I've got some real close mates. So, and I'm still enjoying it, to be honest. So, yeah, mentally I'm really enjoying it. The body's not holding up that well, but mentally I'm still there. So I'll keep going as long as I can.
A little bit of time on the sideline at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, my calf's not playing the game at the minute. So, yeah, I heard it probably about 3-4 weeks ago. So, I'll see how I go tonight at training. But if not, it'll definitely be next week for sure.
So, would you do it against Bell Post Hill?
Yeah, I think it was about halfway through the second quarter against Bell Post Hill. So, yeah, it's been a bit, missed the bye and then missed the last couple. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a pain, but it's getting there. It's getting there. I'm nearly right to go.
You know they are the, dare I say it, old man's injuries.
They sure are.
And they take longer to recover too. When you're a little bit older too, Justin, too, I think.
I know. I went from training a lot to not training for a good probably 4 or 5 weeks when... we introduced our first little girl to the world. So
right.
I reckon that's why the body kind of didn't go too well. I went from training a lot to not training much, and it didn't really like it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, do you, in terms of preparation for the season and things like that, do you do more, less? Do you do the same amount? What, like in terms of how you set yourself up to go for the season, what's that look like for you?
I actually find that getting a bit older, you probably actually need to do more.
Yeah,
so
right.
For me, I felt like I actually had a really good preseason this year. I didn't miss too many sessions. I think I played every single practice match.
Yep.
So I was actually felt really fit and really good. But yeah, it's just unfortunate these old man injuries come along.
Joe, you've been at West for a while. I think joined West 2018 off your stint at Ocean Grove, or 2019?
Might have been 2019.
Yep. And you haven't left. You've enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it. It's a really good club. As I said, I've got some close mates down there at the minute. Really enjoying playing under Franger. Obviously he's pretty well respected in the football community. So he's got a good way he wants us to play footy, and just really enjoying it down there.
And obviously, you know, somebody that's close in age to you too.
Yes. He's actually starting to find some form at the minute, Scott. So he's going all right.
Now tell us, I heard the crowd was fairly raucous at West Oval on Saturday. They were a bit up and about. Josh Viney might have been in for a little bit of attention from the crowd, of course, crossing from West to Inver in the off season.
Yes. There was a little bit going on there on Saturday. So he's actually still got some very close mates that play at West. And I think a few of the boys were getting stuck into him a little bit. And unfortunately, Josh got to kick the last goal. I think it might have been the last goal of the game to get him back in front.
Yes, yeah, just to rub it in.
Just to rub it in, so, but that's all right.
Yeah, for those who don't know. Go on.
Yep, go for it.
No,
I was going to say, we've just been thereabouts for the last, all year, really. So we just can't seem to get over those close games.
Mm. There's a great stat. West haven't conceded 100 points in a game this year.
Yeah, you said that. And we look at it every week, Justin, in terms of, you know, like where you are in terms of half time and three quarter time. You're in games all the time and leading for lots of the time too.
Yeah, we actually went over it, I think maybe last week or the week before, and a lot of those games were actually in front at three quarter time. And we just can't seem to get the job done, unfortunately.
So just look, some of those losses, and you roll back to the start of the season, and 17 points to Thompson, 11 points to Anarchy, 11 points to North Geelong, 13 points to Belmont Lions. You know, even three results go the other way.
You
6 points to Inverleigh, you're talking about a completely different season.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you can't, like, obviously injuries are part of the game, but we've probably lost a few key players throughout the season as well, which hasn't really helped. That doesn't help also, but you can't, injuries are just part of the game.
Yep. Your footy background goes all the way to the northeast of the state and the border with, a real Myrtleford link and obviously Albury as well.
Yep. Yeah, really enjoyed my time there, you know. Myrtleford when I was a real young tacker, a long, long time ago. Albury was a great club. Really enjoyed my time there. You know, the very successful club. And, obviously my brother was there as well. So, yeah, really enjoyed my time there. It was good.
Yep. Do you remember Luke Rayner coaching Myrtleford when he made the move up to the high country?
I do remember Luke. I actually played under him for a season at Myrtleford. So I do remember Luke Rayner. Very, very good coach. Very good coach.
Did you play alongside Dustin McKenna?
No, I didn't.
He was a year before. I know he brought a cup. So he came over from Perth Rains to Myrtleford, and Myrtleford hadn't played in the grand final since winning the flag in 1970. And he came over and he brought a couple of blokes with him, and a bloke called Dustin McKenna who kicked goals for fun. And there was a big ruckman called Ronnie Skender, I think his name was. He came over as well, and Myrtleford made the grand final for the first time in 30-odd years under Rains, but fell short of Lavington. But you tasted the ultimate success at Albury Tigers.
Yes. So got a few flags at Albury, which was really good, and obviously a special one with my brother as well. So that was just a really good outfit. They were coached well. Really professional club, and it really was fun few years there. So it was good.
Who was coaching them in those days, Justin?
Chris Hyde.
Oh, yeah, Chris right. Hyde. Yes.
Sean Daly was another one.
Yeah, right. There. And it's a pretty crack competition, the old Ovens and Murray. Like, it's a pretty good competition, standard of football.
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of ex-AFL players within the O'Halfin brothers, Dean Polo, Chris Hyde, a really good player from over in, from South Australia, Braden O'Hara. So, we had a really good side.
And you played Fev? When he was at Yarrawonga?
Yes, got Fev when he was at Yarrawonga. Kane Pettifer was there. Barry Hall was at Wang Rovers. Justin Kaczynski was at Lavington. So, Yeah, it's a good league. It's a very good league.
Absolutely, it's a good league.
And Albury Sports Ground, and I've lucky enough to play a couple of games on it, is one of the best surfaces you will play on.
Oh, yeah. And I think Lavington's not too bad either, is it?
Nah, Albury Sports Ground has got
better.
Because there's no cricket wicket on Albury Sports Ground.
I love how they used to play for the, I don't know where they still do, but the SSNA Cup. Is it still the SSNA? Yep. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love it. That's great.
It was. Yep.
There's nothing better than the SSNA Club in Albury. Anyway, we digress.
Been to a few Morris Medal nights, Justin.
I was going to say yes. You've spoken at a few, haven't you?
Yeah, I hosted a couple.
Oh, in my time. Here we go. All right, let's get back onto the footy. You played in Queensland too. Did you play at Redland?
I did. Yeah, spent a few years up at Redland Bombers. So. There's a fella from Myrtleford, King, you might remember him, Craig Miller, Funky Miller.
Yeah, right.
So Funky Miller got posted up to Queensland, and he was the one that got me up there.
Mm. Now, you're not the only talented sports person in your family. You're lovely. Are you married now? You're married to Alex? Alex Trezise.
Yeah, married to Alex.
Was a gun basketballer, played Siebel, the old NBL one, with Albury Wodonga, and then came down and had a run in a couple of Geelong teams as well.
Yeah, so she had a run at Ocean Grove. Her first season, she won the best and fairest, and she's actually spent the last, not this year, because we had a little girl, but the last two seasons she spent down at the Cats VFL.
Yep.
VFLW side.
Nice.
So, yeah, she's got a bit of sporting background. She actually went over to Ireland to play Gaelic footy over there as well.
Oh, wow.
How's the overachieving family going on here? How's they going? We're just talking about the Finches at Motawarra. You might have topped the table
and
there.
The thing is, Justin's not even the best of his siblings because his brother Andrew was an absolute jet. No. Justin, will you admit that Andrew was a jet?
Andrew was a very good footballer. So he's my older brother. He went to South Australia, played over there, and then played in Canberra, and then come back to Albury I think he was there for about 8 or 9 years, maybe even a bit longer. And he was a very, very good footballer.
Yes. Now, have you listened to the podcast before, Jazz?
No.
Oh, well, okay, another...
Gee whiz, he was very definitive in that too.
I've actually listened to a couple. I wouldn't say too many, but I've listened to a few.
Now, do you know we do this little player profile?
No, I don't.
All right, well...
You're in trouble here.
Strap yourself in then. Got some questions for you. Full name...
Including middle?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Justin David Carey.
Date of birth and where?
12th of the 2nd, 1985, in Wodonga, Victoria.
Wodonga Base Hospital.
Yes.
Isn't that great? Just 85.
Wodonga Hospital is in the shadows of Martin Park, which is where Wodonga Bulldogs play. It's like on the same street.
That is correct.
Right.
That is correct.
Height?
186.
Recruited from?
As in, like, where from Geelong West?
Yeah,
Ocean Grove, yep. Mm-hmm.
Occupation?
Project manager.
What schools did you attend?
Beechworth High School.
Oh, how good's that?
Yeah, grew up in Beechworth.
Did you really? Is Beechworth High still there?
Yes, yep, right. Yep.
The best part of the country, I tell you. It's amazing up there.
And Beechworth have the best nickname. They're the Bush Rangers.
Oh, yeah, that's a
great spot. They are Beechworth Bush Rangers,
That's a great spot.
School's a 10 we've done. Car driving at the moment?
Toyota Prado.
Sports played other than footy?
Cricket.
Who for?
Wangaratta.
Right. On the showgrounds?
Yes, on the showground,
Norman's Oval. There's a good deck, too.
That is a good deck. I watched Victoria play there one day. They played a Shield game there.
They did
at Wangaratta.
And they also played, Rowan Larkin made 100 for Victoria against the West Indies.
Mm. He did, too.
On that deck. And Rowan Larkin, another link, Jazz played in Shepherd, and Rowan Larkin used to dominate on Deakin Reserve.
Did he?
Really?
He was a good player. Did he? Good cricketer.
Sons go okay, too.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Favourite food?
Steak.
Yes, good boy. Favourite drink?
Love a good steak.
Yes.
I would say Jim Beam.
Justin.
Love a good Jim Beam and Coke.
Justin, I'm coming to West tomorrow night. You're a legend.
For a white night.
Steak and Jim Beam. You are. And you know why? Because he's a little bit older and he's got a little bit of a palate and he knows what he's doing.
This is great.
You don't need a palate.
Boy.
You don't need a palate to drink Jim Beam.
Oh, yes, you do. Black Death, absolutely.
White night.
Harry Gower with his Pepsi Max.
Favourite singer or band?
Oh, jeez.
If he does Akadaka, I'm leaving the studio because we're done then.
Oh, I don't really listen to much music.
Okay. Favourite TV show?
None, really. Home and Away.
Yeah. Please tell me you're joking. Please tell me you're joking.
Grew up watching Home and Away.
Oh, Justin. Favourite movie?
Favourite movie would be Gladiator.
Favourite actor or actress?
Favourite actor? Don't really have one.
Favourite holiday spot?
Greece.
Biggest influence on your career?
Biggest influence on my career probably would be my brother, to be honest.
Most admired sports person?
Ben Cousins.
Pre-game routine?
Pre-game routine. I have a chicken, cheese and tomato sandwich cut into a triangle, and I have to eat one side while I'm getting one leg taped, my ankle taped, and the other side while I'm getting the other taped.
This is why we're award-winning, because we get to the nitty-gritty.
That is gold.
Biggest footy thrill?
Biggest footy thrill, winning a premiership with my brother.
Yes. Biggest footy disappointment?
Losing the grand final by a point with a kick after the siren for Myrtleford.
Oh, 2005.
No. That's no good.
Darren McKimmie.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Darren McKimmie still come up in your nightmares?
No.
He sure does.
I think he comes up in Trav Hodgson's nightmares. Who was coach of Myrtleford. Yep.
Coach of Myrtleford that year, yes, correct.
And if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
They would be Ben Cousins. I absolutely love him. Would be my brother. And would be my new little daughter.
Yes, nice. That's a good one.
8 weeks old.
So that gives Alex a night off.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you say 8 weeks old?
8 weeks old.
You ain't seen nothing yet, brother. Good luck with that.
You've only got 17 years and 10 months to go.
You've got forever, unfortunately.
She was born on the Thursday, 3 a.m. Thursday morning before we played Bannockburn, which I still played that game.
I hope so.
Yeah. I'm impressed. Charles, great to catch up. You've been somebody we've had on our hit list for a while, but it was this week that we thought a good time. Fingers crossed that calf gets up and you're back playing this weekend, and appreciate the chat. And a little trip down memory lane as well with a bit of your O&M exploits, which were pretty impressive, I must say.
No, thank you very much, guys. Very much loved being on here. And, yeah, thank you very much for your time.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
We do have some favourites. We do admit it.
We do.
And this guy is one of our favourites, of course, a superstar. He's in an elite club, one of only a handful of blokes to played in three premierships at Leopold, 16, 23 and 24. And he's in some pretty good form, even though it's fair to say he's in the twilight of his career. I think he's happy for me to say that in Sammy Scott. He's been good enough to join us on Curry Footy. Hello, Box.
Thanks for having me. It's an honour to be on the award-winning show.
Yes, Box. We love that. Well done.
All right. Please just take us into the origins of the nickname Box?
Yeah, I'm not sure when it happened. I think it might have been maybe after the 2016 flag. I had a helmet on my head on a Mad Monday, and the boys just realised how square my head was. And so started a square head and then grumpy Box, and it just slowly just become Box. And now, even I think my mum calls me it over the fence when she's sitting out on the weekend, so it's definitely caught on.
Love it. Love it. You're in good form. Did you think you could still have an impact despite your advancing years?
Yeah, well, it's been nice. Like, last year I really battled with OP, probably from round 12 onwards, and I really limped through the finals, so it was nice to be able to show up on grand final day. But and then over the preseason, I really couldn't get to work until Feb, so I sort of did a bit of a Trent West preseason, and then really didn't give myself much of a shot at getting going this year. But just turned the corner with it, and I'm feeling all right. So when you feel all right, you can get a bit more of the footy, which has been nice. And I'm playing predominantly forward, which I don't love, but it's where I've been playing. So, I've been enjoying, feeling good and going out there with the boys.
Are you the Patrick Dangerfield of the GFNL?
Yep.
I think so. It's my age and my strength. Nah, not at all. No, nowhere near it. I just do whatever Giddo tells me, and it just fell in my lap. on the weekend, which is nice.
Did you consider giving it away after last year, going, this might be the perfect way to go out?
A little bit. I was only 30 and thought, well, I do have three kids, which sort of ages me a little bit. So I was thinking maybe it's probably time, but you just, so many people have said, you just don't get that time in footy back. Yeah. So I'm just going to stretch it out for as long as I possibly can. And if I'm feeling good, I want to keep playing footy.
We just spoke to Justin Carey on the podcast here, Sam. He's 40, so you've got another decade to go. You'll be fine. You'll be okay.
Yeah, that's it. Like that.
Now, we saw
and,
you...
And I suppose just with that, it's like, now that my son's getting a bit older, he comes to the games, and some of my favourite memories is watching my dad, so it sort of does make me want to keep playing for as long as he's scooting around, yelling out, "Go, Dad." So it is nice.
Now, we saw you in round one down in Lawn, and it's fair to say you're a little bit off the pace, and we were a little bit worried, but then you sort of, you've picked it up and you've got back to where you probably should be. Was it just a bit of a scenario with a new coach and a premiership, you know, had one and one, you probably started pre-season a bit later and a few things just needed to click again for the old boys to get back into it?
Yeah, I think it's been a range of factors, like with Buddha leaving and Luke taking over and working out who all the players are, and he really wanted to put his own spin on our game plan, which is great because when you win two, they sort of work out exactly how you play. So we've had to evolve our game plan a bit, and it's taken us a little bit to start listening to the new direction and to take it on board. And plus, our personnel changed pretty significantly. We've lost a few older heads and brought in some really young, great, energetic talent. So hopefully this is the time of year when you want things to start clicking, and it seems to have picked up and everyone's on the same page finally. But yeah, it was definitely a slow start against Joey's. We just thought this could be a long year, but we've started to put it together now, which is great.
It's been great that you've been able to blood those new players, because as you said, now you and Pup and a few others are getting to the latter stages of your career. So you really can't leave the club where you lose 10 or 12 players in a year and then try and bring these players in all at once. If you can sort of get them in as you've been doing, that's going to set the club up for many years to come.
And it's been really nice to be able to debut a few local players.
Yeah.
We haven't had much of an opportunity to over the past. We've sort of recruited some Southwest boys, which have been terrific for the club. But if you can start budding some of your local players, they're going to stick around forever. And we had Brad Pask play on the weekend in our midfield, and he looked up to it and was fantastic. And it's those boys like Darcy Brisley and Lockie McLean that will carry the club forward. So the quicker we can get them ready, the better the club will be.
Box, you spent a year, 2022, in the quaffle. You know, you headed north for work, and Leopold made a grand final. Can you take us back to that year and just seeing what was unfolding down here, especially through the final series? Was there a little bit of FOMO?
Yeah, there was. I was. I watched the Newtown game where Gordo got that perfectly distanced 50-metre penalty. I was in early beats. And I had to sit in a room by myself because my brother Tom was playing as well. And I was just so excited and caught up in the moment that the minute the game finished, I booked a flight down with Qantas and then worked out I didn't get insurance on it and I picked the wrong date. So I was out about 8:50 just out of pure excitement and then had to rebook some more flights.
Well, I do apologise for Kirsch's commentary on that day because he went out of the commentary box when Giddo took that mark. That was ridiculous. So I can imagine how you were up and about.
Yeah, no, I had to go for a walk for about half an hour afterwards. I was just so excited. But yeah, it was really great that the turnaround, because we had about 30, when my last training session, we had about 30 players when I decided to go up to Queensland. And I just felt terrible and just thought, oh, I just don't know if leaving now is the right decision. But it was for our family. And then the boys were just unbelievable that year. And, they played so well and just couldn't get it done on the last day. But it really set us a really great foundation for what we've been able to do in the following years, which has been good. But, yeah, I was envious of them out there, but I was just so excited to see the boys having the success that they had.
What was it like playing in Queensland, especially in some very, very nice areas around the Gold Coast?
Yeah, it was awesome. I actually fractured my tibia at the start, so I didn't get a full season up there. And the games I did play, it was just 30 degrees, and I had about three migraines because my
larger body couldn't quite keep up with the heat and the running around in the midfield up there. So once I adjusted to it, it was fantastic. But I need to be back with the wind so people can't judge my kicking.
It's fair to say I haven't seen a lot of the grounds up there, but I have been to Broadbeach. The Cats trained up there a few years ago. We had a week-long camp up there. And if Broadbeach is anything to go by, those grounds have got some serious size about them. Mm.
Yeah, they do, and like Noosa and Maroochydore, and yeah, it was the big grounds, hot weather, and they just run in Queensland. They all have just unbelievable bodies, everyone up there. It just makes you feel really awesome about yourself. And so it was a big change from the contested footy that we've got down here. But then I'm seeing, I think Mitch Patton kicked 11 goals on the weekend, and Harry Benson's just getting 30-plus every week. So those two haven't taken much to adjusting to it.
Now, one player I wanted to talk about, because we always talk about the piano tuner and the big boys and all the other bits. One player who I reckon has really come on in leaps and bounds is Billy Ritchie. Like, I saw him obviously play at Bannockburn, and he came as, I would suspect, as a bit of a bit part player for you guys at Leopold. But gee whiz, he's turned into a damn good player for you.
Yeah, he's one that we really miss when he's out, because he plays the high forward role, and I think traditionally the high forward role has been you run 16 Ks and touch it 8 times.
Yeah.
he's been able to put together some games of 30-plus in that high forward role. He's almost like another midfielder, and he's probably, apart from maybe Logger, he's our best user going inside 50 because he just sees everything. So he's been huge, and he's just a good link, and if we can give him the ball around the centre of the ground, it usually results in a score for us. So he's a good, and he's at a really good age as well, where he's sort of with Mitch Burgess and those boys coming up through, and they're super committed, lives in Leopold as well, so hopefully we've got him forever.
I just reckon ever since that second half of that St Mary's preliminary final,
absolutely.
It was just like that I don't know whether you remember
clicked
it,
him into action.
But it was like that something clicked for him in that second half, and he's just gone on from there.
Yeah, definitely. He's obviously played in a few grand finals as well for the Bannockburn before he came across, so he knows what it takes, and he's kicked some nice goals in those finals, and I think he just complements the tough stuff inside, and we'd love to have him inside as well, but he just provides way too much as a forward. A little bit like what we were doing with Brock last year, where he could have been an inside mid, but he was just too good as a forward for us.
Now, you've had Buddha for the last couple of years since coming back from Queensland, and Luke Kelly's coming. Now, we don't know a lot about Luke. We've interviewed him a couple of times, but I suspect they are two very, very contrasting personalities.
Yeah, well, you guys know what Buddha's like. He was in a B-suit the other week at just a local game of footy. So Buddha was just remarkable at just getting people across with a message. And also, you'd never know where you sat. So everyone was always on their toes with him, which is great. And Luke, he's come with just such a wealth of knowledge, and he's slowly been drip-feeding it to the boys. So I mean, both of them had such great AFL experience prior to coaching, which we're super lucky having. And I think Luke's very process-driven and making sure everyone understands the roles and, if this happens, then this will happen, which is really great. And, Buddha was a very passionate person and a really great character to have. Chalk and cheese a little bit in that regard. I don't think we're going to see Luke dressing up in any costumes, but he delivers a message just as well.
What was your favourite Buddha costume?
I think it had to be our final series when he was the Sons of Anarchy. That was that was awesome. And he had the jacket and everything was ready to go. And we were clipping together some Sons of Anarchy visions during the week for the boys, so he just went wild on it. So it was awesome. And then he pulled the jacket out when we won the granny and revving up in the change room, which I know a few of the teams got a hold of and were sort of joking around with us about it, but it ended up being awesome for us because we won it. So
is it true he turned up to one in a toga?
Yeah, I think that was that might have been when I wasn't there, because there was also one he turned up addressed the boys with vampire teeth in as well. So I think he's a bit more theatrical maybe in 22 than the following years, but there's always a theme and a message behind it.
Big game against Bell Park this week, krockfootball.live from 1 o'clock, FM 88.5 at the ground, and AFL Barwon TV from 2 o'clock. They gave you a touch-up out there last year.
Yeah, they did. That was my 30th as well. And everyone left early. They were all so flat. So, yeah, it wasn't a good day. But and they've been in some terrific form, Bell Park. I've watched a fair bit of their vision. They move the footy really, really fast. And they've got plenty of talent in their midfield that just cover the ground really well. So, and even looking at the ladder from third to seventh, it's really tight. So any of these games where you come up against someone around the mark, you've really got to make sure you put your best foot forward and come to play.
Fair to say that Marcus Thompson's 30th on Saturday night at the Sporties would have been a larger affair than your 30th then?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I said it to you the other day, Kingy, with the Thompsons, they're very generous on the bar tab. So it definitely kept people around a lot longer than I did.
must have missed our email address or our phone number with an invite.
That might come up. So what we'll actually do, so usually Birchie, Pup's one of the captains after the toss of the coin that Birchie will actually go to.
Yeah.
I think Birchie's first question should be, good luck today, Marcus. Where were the invites to your 30th?
Absolutely. Gee whiz. We've made him a star, for goodness sake. We didn't get an invite.
Yeah. He's nearly bigger than his brother because of you guys. So.
Oh, we'd like that too. I would like
it. Didn't Harrow lose a game earlier in the year after about 40,000 wins?
No.
They actually lost on the weekend because, funnily enough, Jai travelled home to watch Marcus play and then go to his 30th. So I don't know. I wouldn't read too much into it, but Jai wasn't present, so I think he's keeping the haven't lost streak going. So.
Love it. Now, past Players' Day 2 at Leopold, couple of reunions, the 1990 Senior Premiership from the Bellarine. Tags is joining us.
Is he really?
Phil Tullyboo is going to come and join.
him and Purse coach.
Peter Lang's not joining us.
Right.
Peter's declined.
Right.
Tags is coming. He's handballed it over to Tags. Right. And Tags is bringing the cup with him too.
Really?
When we have the chat. Fantastic. So that'll be good. And the very famous 2000 reserve grade flag, there is a bunch of reprobates that played in that team.
I think there
might have been an Aston in that
really
team.
Really was there.
So there, that was Leopold's first GFNL.
GFNL, yes.
Premiership of any kind.
Yeah, right.
Their reserves grade flag that year. So they're also going to be celebrating. So a massive day. Now, Box, we have our little player profile. Do you listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I'm a regular listener. I think I said it to you, I sometimes use it for a bit of oppo analysis to see who's in and out. Whoever timestamps it on the Facebook for the news wraps sold. So.
Love it.
Well done.
Full name?
Samuel Jake Scott.
Date of birth and where?
20th of May, 94, and St John of God Hospital.
Yes. There's a St John of God. Thank you very much. Height?
Oh, 178. Do you want my plays like height?
Yeah. No, happy with that. Checks out, 178.
That's all right.
Not recruited from anywhere because other than a bit of Falcons and a bit of VFL with North Ballarat, it's been Leopold or little stint in Surfers. Occupation?
Primary school teacher.
Where at?
Our Lady Star of the Sea in Ocean Grove.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Schools attended?
Leopold Primary and then went to St. Joey's and studied at ACU in Ballarat.
You are indoctrined as the Catholic, aren't you? Well done. Born at St. John of God, went to St. Joey's, went to ACU, teaching at a Catholic school.
The only thing that would have added to that was having gone to Christ the King at Newcombe rather than going to Leopold Primary.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. What happened there?
Good Catholic boy.
Yeah, well done. Good work.
Car, what do you drive?
Toyota Land Cruiser.
Oh, is that our second Toyota?
I don't know, but gee whiz, somebody's going okay with the teaching, aren't they?
Gee whiz. Catholic system.
A bit of a handy-down from Dad. I think I grew up in this car.
Well done.
Sports played other than footy?
I'm actually horrific at every other sport, so it's always just been footy. A little bit of athletics, but no, just footy.
Favourite food?
My wife, Mickey, makes an unbelievable burger, so I'd have to say her burgers.
Favourite drink?
Coffee.
Favourite sink?
I'm an oat latte, so...
Oh, no.
Let's just keep moving forward, will we?
Favourite singer or band?
Well, that's a tricky one. My Spotify is full of The Wiggles and Louie and a little bit of K-Rock. It'd probably be Xavier Rado or Vance Joy.
Xavier Rudd.
Yeah, nice.
Former Torque
That's
East.
Good. Well
former
done.
Torque East star, well Xavier done. Rudd.
Good work.
And Joey's.
Yep. Yep. St. Joey's, St. Joey's alumni.
Oh, look at you blokes. Unbelievable. Yeah, yes.
Favourite TV show?
Oh, I'd have to go with Suits or Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Suits was outstanding. Hey,
Suits and Breaking Bad get up every week with Suits, somebody's play
Suits
profile.
Is
people
unbelievable.
Love them.
Yeah. I'd love to have a beer with Harvey Specter.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Favorite movie?
One of Guy Ritchie's movies, The Gentleman.
Oh yes, yes, good movie.
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
Yeah, good movie.
Favorite actor or actress?
Tom Hardy or Charlie Hunnam, the fellow out of Sons of Anarchy.
Yep. Favorite holiday spot?
We don't get away much anymore with these kids, but Airlie Beach, we went there a little bit longer in Queensland. So.
Airlie Beach is great. Yep.
Biggest influence on your career?
Early days, it'd be both my parents, but probably through senior footy, Steve Clark had a massive impact. And then Buddha in the last few years has probably challenged me more as a coach, which has been good. So, yeah, different parts and been different people.
Most admired sports person?
I love Chris Judd going through primary school and secondary school. And then since all the podcasts and things these days, I think he's my favourite person to listen to. So I'd have to go Chris Judd.
Mm-hmm. Pre-game routine?
Yeah, it's changed pretty dramatically since kids. I was used to go for a walk and take myself out for breakfast. But these days it's swimming with one of the twins in the morning. And then I'm a bit dishevelled by the time I rock up for footy for the break from them. So I'm just getting there on a Saturday.
Biggest footy thrill?
The 2016 Premiership, followed really closely by 23.
Right. Biggest footy disappointment?
Oh, losing in 14 was bad, but also 2018, I had a shot for goal in the prelim against Jordan and I kicked a point, and they went on to win the granny the following week. That hurt a bit.
And if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yes. That's gold. I love that one.
Muhammad Ali.
Oh.
And then probably I've got to go an Aussie icon. So maybe like someone that can talk and tell a story. Ned Kelly. That'd be pretty good.
Oh, box. That is great. I'm coming in that dinner.
That's a good one. Ned Kelly. That's good.
He's got to take his helmet off, though.
Well, I hope so. Hard to talk.
Yes. Freddie Mercury. That's a good one.
Box, well played.
Love a bit of clean.
Looking forward to the second half of the season. Looking forward to seeing the number 8 run around on Saturday afternoon at Leopold Memorial Park, carrickfootball.live, 1 o'clock and FM 88.5 at the ground. Appreciate you taking the time to having a chat to us and look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thanks for chatting to me. I'm looking forward to being called a veteran all day Saturday or a cockroach or something kind like you guys always do.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Yes, he will be being called a veteran.
Well and truly.
Yeah.
We'll call Marcus something else.
Oh,
after no invite.
No invite.
He'll be listening too to this.
Yeah, he
Marcus,
he does
you,
listen.
You need to come and explain yourself on Saturday when we're there.
Yeah. Maybe he could use. We could give him the Leopold Sporties Player of the Day, and he could take us out for dinner.
No. He's not getting that ever again.
Okay.
No. Until he decides that he's going to apologise to us for not coming to his 30th. Sorry to say.
Publicly.
Yeah. On K-Rock.
Let's have a look at the games. Leopold and Bell Park.
Oh, tough one. Like seriously, going to be a good game. Leopold at home.
Waiting to find out whether Mitch Mahardy is.
What's going on there?
Came off with a knock.
Oh, that's no good.
So whether he's
not going to help.
I'm not sure whether he's ended up in the concussion protocol or
not. A Leopold at home.
Yep.
Yes.
Grovedale and St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph's. Grovedale were good. I thought they played pretty well. I think they're all realistic about where they're at, but I think St. Joseph's will win.
Tom Gillett had a day out against Joeys
four years ago.
Yes,
he did too. That's right, didn't he?
And he's beat them.
Player. He's a good player.
He's kicked six first game back.
Just taking it.
Yep.
Yep.
Newtown and West.
Oh, Newtown.
Yep.
On fire.
Yeah, West need Tanner Lewis back.
Yeah, they do.
North Shore and Colac, I think maybe a reality check coming.
Yes, back to normal programming there, unfortunately.
I'm not sure whether Joffe will be back or not. So it depends on whether he's recovered from being part of Hawthorn's.
It's mid-season. Joffe doesn't need to appear just yet again.
South Bowen and Lara.
Yes. Let's move forward.
And St Mary's and St Albans.
Yes, Battle of the St Mary's and St Albans. I think St Mary's will win at home, and they need to.
Mm.
Yes. They need a win.
They've lost three of their last four.
They need a victory.
Ballerine is round 12.
Yes. Two-thirds of the way through, so Tom.
Port Arlington have won three in a row.
Yes.
For the first time. They straddled 07-08 seasons with some wins.
I love when you use the word straddled.
I think they won the last two of 07. The last of 07, first two of 08.
Right.
But haven't won three straight in season since 1994.
Okay.
That year they played in the grand final under Stormy Winter.
The Great Storm.
They win this.
Oh.
They're actually equal on points with teams inside the five.
Yeah, they win this, they nearly play finals. Now, come on, let's be honest, because they're beating teams that they need to beat.
Scotty Greenhoff and Macca Burns is a massive, massive battle.
Yes. Torquay at home.
And maybe Chooker Anderson back, as we touched on earlier.
Absolutely.
Anglesey and Drysdale.
Oh, well, Anglesey. Now, Geordie, what's going on? Tough week on the track.
Too busy, you know, trying to insert himself on Friday night.
Yes.
At his brother-in-law's 350th, getting himself on the TV.
A little bit of me time, a little bit of Geordie time.
Should have been focused.
Concentrating. Yeah. Neildy got a sniff and thought, I'm going down to watch them. That's right, because Ocean Grove are going to win. They have to win Anglesey, but I don't think they will.
Bowen Heads are playing, I think, elimination finals for the rest of the year.
They are, and they're going to lose their elimination final this week.
Talking about elimination finals and Bowen Heads.
Yes.
Flynn Young.
Yes.
Debuting for Carlton tomorrow night.
Is he really?
Yes. As
he's been in good form from
as
what I hear.
As the sub, I've been told.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
Good for him. Yep. Well, they need something.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Mottawarie and Newcombe.
On the slope, Mottawarie.
Queenscliff should bounce back.
Oh, well, we said that last week about Anglesey against Ocean Grove.
What about who Queenscliff have got as a guest for lunch on Friday?
What's on Friday?
They've got a function.
All right. No invite again for us. What's going on in this place?
I know I'm going.
Oh, jeez. It's all
Yelena Dokic.
She's very good. She's a very good speaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going down to...
Are you? Oh. I'll ring the president.
I might be emceeing it.
Oh, jeez. This is okay, isn't it? The lady president spoke to my wife too earlier in the week. Nothing for JD. Oh, what's going on here?
If you pay for a ticket, you can come on.
No, no. Oh, yeah. When was the last time you paid for a ticket to go to anything? Okay, that'll be nice. No, she's very good, Yelena. Very good. I'm playing golf anyway on Friday. I can't.
Where are you having hit at?
Oh, I can't tell you that. 13th.
I can't tell you 13th.
13th. At Creek Course. 11:30. Oh, that's good. No,
who are you playing with?
Oh, just playing with a couple of reptiles. Right. Just a couple of reptiles. Queenscliff will beat Ocean Grove.
Round 11 of the GDFNL.
Oh.
Werribee Centrals and Thompson. This might be last roll of the dice for Centrals.
Yes. Thompson by a point.
Inverleigh and Anarchy. Brad Gerard, no certainty.
Flip a coin. I've got no idea. At home in Valley.
Bell Post Hill and Bannockburn. Another flip of the coin.
Oh, Banner, because they have to win.
This is for the Wooden Spoon, Cryo West.
Oh, gee whiz. Well, I would say Geelong West on exposed form of being in games longer.
Jay Bennett kicked goals again last week.
Yes. Just playing forward.
I see Justin Van Unen, who they recruited, the prolific forward from Melbourne.
Not playing?
No, barely being cited.
That's no good.
East Geelong and Winchelsea.
Yes, the Eagles at home.
Do you know the Eagles have only lost once at home under Ned Osbrook?
Really?
And that was their first game.
Really?
Bell Post Hill gave him a touch-up start of last year.
Netball court's very good over there. Very good.
It's got no influence on the footy.
None whatsoever.
And this might be for the minor premiership.
Oh.
Belmont Lions and North Geelong. They are ravaged by injury, Belmont Lions.
Oh, they are.
North Geelong, not so much. Luke Parker just sneaking his way back in.
Just kicking a couple here and there.
And joining us on Beyond the Boundary next week.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's got a four in front of his number, isn't he?
No.
He's got a four.
His age?
Yeah.
No. No, he's not as old as you think he is.
How old? Oh, really?
No.
Tell me. You'll know.
I've got to have to do it.
Must be close.
No.
No, come on. He's been playing forever.
He has.
It's 2025, Tom.
It is. He's still wearing the number 4, too.
He's allowed to. He's a Parker.
Right, so let's have a look here.
He's allowed to.
I'm just on his play HQ.
Is he wearing long sleeves still?
Is he? Yes,
of course.
Silly question.
Of course.
I hope so. Parks played under-18s in 2009. 35.
He's mid-30s.
34.
Yep. Okay. He's got plenty of time left.
Yes. Yeah, four in front of his age. Do you know who's going to be on the phone to you?
Who?
His mother.
No. No, she's not. No.
Kelly will be on the phone to you going...
No, she hasn't got my number. Hab might, but Kelly won't.
She'll find it quick enough.
35. Yep. Oh, yeah, I thought he was older than that. He's got years left, Justin Carey style. God, yep. He could play for another half a dozen in the ones at North.
Would have thought.
Yeah, that's good. Well, he's got... He, I tell you, of one person at North who could be the difference between winning and losing a final is him.
Hmm.
He knows his way around St Albans too.
Absolutely.
Don't you worry about that.
Very good record.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to him next week.
Oh, that's good.
And I'll talk to you Saturday.
Okay.